Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. RunCatalina.com. We've got the Catalina Eco Marathon, Half Marathon, and 10K coming up on Saturday, November 18th. ATV Swim Spa's official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com, on iTunes, and as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest has had a phenomenal season so far this year. She's won the Aussie Long Course Championships, Asia Pacific Ironman Championships in Cairns, the European Ironman Championships in Frankfurt, and just coming off of winning the ITU World Long Course Championships in beautiful Penticton, Canada. Her name is Sarah Crowley. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you, Bob?
I am spectacular. I mean, you are more than good. You have been on a huge roll. This is, when you win basically everything you do, that's like you have one of those years where just everything is going right.
Yeah, it's been unreal, and I'm just going to keep rolling with it, I guess.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you? So growing up, was it swimming, running? What were your sports growing up?
So I guess as a kid, I did do swimming, as most Australians kind of do, but I stopped when I went to high school and started long-distance running and enjoyed that. And I actually played a bit of softball, a bit of basketball, played a bit of everything, really. And then it wasn't until I was about maybe 20 that I actually saw an aquathon event and thought I could give it a go, and then took up triathlon from there. So I probably started when I was about 21 doing triathlon and haven't really looked back.
What was it about the sport that appealed to you? Did you just have success right away?
I think I've always enjoyed the endurance side of sport. I had, you know, obviously with the running background and things, I really enjoyed just the natural and the, I guess, it's kind of like, I enjoy like almost meditating when I run, so I really quite like just getting away from things. But also at that period of time in Australia, we had sort of Formula One triathlon and the original short.
Oh, love those races!
Triathlon on TV, it was fantastic.
Uncle,
and I think I looked up to, you know, Miles Stewart and those guys, so I thought it'd be pretty fun to give it a go myself.
That stuff was so cool. I mean, talk about, well, that's really what the Olympics is doing now, right? That was the predecessor, International Triathlon Grand Prix and Uncle Toby's, you know, all those type of one day it's swim, bike, run, or one part is swim, bike, run, the next one is bike, run, swim, and double swims, and you never knew what you were going to get. It was just really, really fun racing. And back then, when you're looking at 08, 09, you're doing some ITU Continental Cups, taking first and second, the Australian Young Guns of Asia, you're the only woman doing that. Did you think back then, hey, 2012 Olympics, was that sort of a goal?
At the time, it was, but I never was able to get the swim to the level it needed to be. I was never, you know, you can kind of get away with having a really fast run in the Continental Cup and World Cup level, but once you get into that sort of premier cream of the crop type territory of the World Series, it was just really evident that unless I really drastically changed my swim, it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And so from there, I actually went back to work. So I'm a chartered accountant. I work for Deloitte, the accounting firm, and they've actually been so kind to let me take two long sabbaticals from work. But I decided just to go back to work during that time. And I sort of took to longer distance sport during that period. And I actually joined a cycling team and did a National Road Series cycling for a little bit. And then started doing 70.3 Ironman distance. And, you know, the dream would have been, you know, obviously to go to an Olympics would have been unreal. But the reality was unless I you know, the world's collided with the right coach at that time, I wasn't going to be able to swim. So, yeah, I kind of just went back to work for a little while, and then the last few years things started picking up, and I decided to have another crack.
What I like is you're obviously a very practical person. Someone who's in finance is obviously pretty practical. It's like, okay, it's 2008, 2009, I'm doing these ITU races, and I'm winning some of them, but these are smaller races. You know, the World Cup in Mooloolaba, and you're doing some of the WTS races. But then you realize, you know what, I'm not going to get to that next level. I'm not going to make the Olympic team. I need to work on my run and I want to get my running and cycling really together so that I can focus on that and then come back and do longer distance stuff, which is sort of the way it looks.
Right. Yeah, that's sort of what I did. I thought, well, I don't know. I've never ridden, you know, more than like a 3-hour ride and things. So I sort of thought, well, I don't know if I'll like long stuff. In the end, I really enjoy it. I love the long training. It's fantastic just sort of, you know, getting out. Like I said, I kind of like meditating, going on big long runs and things. And I actually quite enjoy the intensity of some of our training as well. So I kind of just, I just went away and thought, well, I'll get a bit fitter and stronger and see how it goes, the longer stuff. And it turned out that I really quite enjoyed it. I still had a massive hole with the swim for quite some time, and I was, once again, you know, I came back to racing 70.3, and sort of towards the end of 15, I won a few races in 70.3, but it was still not with a great swim. It was just off my running pedigree. And I think the real key change that occurred was sort of at the start of 16 when I joined up with Cam Watt, with Tri-Sutto, and Cam's put in a lot of effort into my swim, and now it's all sort of coming together. And I, oddly enough, won races at all different distances now, so... it's been a pretty amazing year.
What's interesting is for a lot of folks, you know, like a Marina Carfrae or back in the day, Heather Fuhr, always coming from behind, always having to run her way up through the field. And I think there's to a certain degree, there's a point where it's really difficult when you're always getting off and going, I've got to come up with a run of my life to get back up there. So at some point, you've got to become a better swimmer with the depth. And you can sort of get away with it when you go to your typical 70.3 or even your typical full Ironman when you don't have the field, right? You don't have a Kona field there or 70.3 World's field. You can sort of get away with it, but you have to have all three if you're going to become the best in the world.
Yeah, and that's becoming more and more so as people move from ITU into the 70.3.
You've got
Polly Lawrence's and people, you know, I think Sarah Cruz even raced one or two this year.
Yeah, and done well.
Exactly, and as these girls, I mean, you know, Barbara Viros as well, and as they come through, it's only going to get faster, you know, that those pack at the front's only going to be bigger and, you know, the run's only going to be quicker. And so, you start to run out of time if you try and just work on what you're strong at. You've really got to address the swim. And for me, it's practical. It's if it doesn't happen, then, well, there's always work and I can do sort of race professionally kind of part-time. But it was all in for me. If I didn't change it, that was going to be it. So, it's been good. It's great. It's like it's such a great feeling when you don't have the bikes aren't all gone when you get out of the swim.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, well, one part, it's sort of nice because it's easy to find your bike. But the bad part is that it's easy to find your bike.
Yeah.
So what is care?
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. And you are right. Like, it's that thought of having to, you know, go out every time chasing.
Yeah.
Chasing is just like, yeah. You know, if it's not on, then, you know, anything that goes wrong, you can get in your head, I guess, if you're not on. And I think now, I still race, even though it's more from the front, I still race with that feeling of having to actually prove something or catch people or whatever. But now it even works more so in my favor because you're already there. So it just changes the dynamic completely for me.
Well, and it changes the dynamic completely for the people when they see you earlier than they expect to see you. Now you're in their head, right? They're like, oh, wait, what's she doing here already?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what did Cameron Watt bring to the table for you? How did he change your approach?
Well, I guess, at the exact same time, it happened to be a strange mix of timing for everyone. It was perfect, really. He had just been running a cycling team, a continental cycling team, and that team had been wound up towards the end of the previous year. So he was then turning his mind to coaching triathlon, and he'd been previously worked with Brett as an athlete. Cam seems to have a really good ability to observe and correct things based on the individual. Like, he doesn't just provide a cookie cutter sort of triathlon coaching approach. Like, he really does, for technique things, he actually really does provide you with specific coaching, which I think is really important. So it's been a real privilege having his sort of, guidance. I guess the main thing then is his swim background. Like, he was a fantastic open water swimmer himself. And so for me to find someone who I knew that I could work with really well, because he's a great communicator, to address something that was my weakness and his strength, has probably been the key thing that has helped me in the last year. And then also, I guess, adopting a lot of the Bassado type coaching methodologies as well, just to get a bit stronger and change a few sort of run technique things as well. And, you know, I guess it's taken probably a year and a half to finally kind of get to the level that I need to be able to actually be able to do the training at the level I need. So, coming from an office job, you can't just jump straight into the level of training that someone like Danny is doing. It's taken quite some time to even get to that point. So I think that it's probably only in the last 3 or 4 months that we've kind of got to the point where I can tolerate the training. It's just all coming together really quickly.
So in 16, your Ironman debut, you get fourth, and then your second Ironman, you get fourth, and you go to Kona. Now, that was your first time in Kona last year, especially the first time as a pro.
Yeah, last year was a weird year. So we went, not weird, but, I had a few things go wrong. I'm not making enough excuses, but I guess I didn't have the best Kona that I would have liked for my debut, but it was still okay. It was a solid race. But earlier I'd actually gone to altitude for the first time in August, and from there I raced the Boo Asia Pacific 70.3 champs, where I had a really good race and then had a great run. And then followed up the week later with a race in Korea. And we tried to do quite a bit of training in the week between the two races because the field was fairly weak in the second race. And I actually got sick on a plane flight home, ended up with pneumonia on my camp in Jeju before Kona. And just didn't really, same with 70.3 Worlds, I had this terrible cough and I couldn't sleep at night. And I think the damage was done already, like sort of maybe 3 or 4 weeks out before the race. I couldn't get the load done properly. And it just wasn't a great, great time because it's obviously it's the business end of the season. I did learn a lot though. I think going to Kona for the first time, I sort of learned what makes Kona so hard and was able to kind of see that myself with my own eyes. I mean, I guess for me, I learned that it's because it's a world title, it could be any course, but people really do put it all on the line. And I think that makes it even harder than the conditions and the course even already is. So I kind of learnt those things. I saw things happen in the race that wouldn't normally happen in any other Ironman, I don't think. People wouldn't do some of the things that they do. And so I guess I learnt a lot, even though I didn't have the race I would have liked. And I can take that away for this year. So.
Well, and you're 15th first time out, 15th pro is not a bad place to be, especially if you're coming off being sick. And the nice thing is now you've got that out of the way. You've been in there and you've seen, because people get a little crazy, right?
Yeah.
People get out of the saddle and are like surging. And you're a gal who is a bike racer. So you're seeing people bike racing 10 miles into the Ironman. And I'm sure you're thinking, what the heck are they doing?
I couldn't believe, I've raced ITU and it felt as hard as an ITU race.
Oh, yes!
I got dropped going out of the T1, and I was just thinking, what? We can't maintain this for an entire 180 kilometers. I mean, what's going on? And those are the things. They're like, well, okay, how can you best deal with that situation? You know it's going to happen. Is there a way you can get through that, more efficiently, I guess? And, just learning all those things, which most people, you can tell me. I mean, even my coach, Cam, he told me about that happening, and I didn't really know what to expect, and I didn't respect how hard that actually was going to be until I actually experienced it myself. So now I know. So, there's things like that yeah, definitely I'll take away for this year.
And what's fascinating about it is we can talk heat and wind all we want, but the reality is there's no other race on the planet where there's, what, 35 to 40 women with 20 of them who finished top 10 before and all of them feeling like they can be top five. So, right? Everybody there, nobody's there going, oh, I'm training through this because I'm going to Arizona. They're there, right? They're there to make a name for themselves because you can change your life by having that day. Right? Just like it's sort of like the Olympics. That day can change everything for you. So everybody there is thinking that. Why not me? Why can't it be me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's fascinating what people do.
I know. I know it, especially with your background in bike racing. You get a chance to really see that because you don't see that often. It's pretty steady state in a lot of these 70.3 or full Ironman races. You don't see a lot of quote unquote racing going on.
No, I must admit that on the weekend in Penticton, we actually did see a little bit of jostling.
Yes,
going
you
on.
Did. You guys did. Talk a little bit about that because that's Penticton. It's at a different distance. It's a 3K swim and 120K bike and a 30K run. So it's really your 70.3 specialists stepping up. You got full Ironman people coming down and some ITU folks not quite sure what they're doing. And you've got everybody sort of mixed in and not, there's really no track record because that distance isn't run very often. Did you like that?
Yeah, it was very interesting. I must admit, I think it was probably it was quicker than I expected. I would put it more towards 70.3 hanging on than like an iron distance, I guess, because and particularly in Penticton, I mean, the course had a lot of rolling hills, so there was a lot of downtime on the bike, so you could conserve quite a bit of energy for the run. And then it wasn't like a totally hilly run either, so it was quite a fast course, I think. But I really enjoyed the bike leg. It had a lot of you're going around these beautiful lakes, and the girls came together a bit, so there was a bit of jostling, a bit of bike skills going on with the technical parts of the course, descending. It was a lot of fun.
Well, and then you had Hella Fredrickson was up there, up the road, out of the water. Then you caught her. You caught her in the run. Ended up winning by 4 minutes or so. But getting was that your first world title?
Yeah, definitely.
How fun is that?
I know. I must admit, I didn't think of it as a world title until you actually win it. You're concentrating on it. Your race plan and
right.
And then you see Hella up the road, and you think, well, I could actually pass her, but you're sort of more thinking, oh, I could pass her to be in front of what? Oh, it's a world title. It doesn't really sink in until you actually get to the finish line, I don't think. But I guess you can't think like that because you could cook your race up. But it was pretty amazing how Hella, she did so well. I think the only thing that for her was that I just happened to be running faster. She didn't slow down that much.
No, yeah.
She did pretty well for a first time going a bit further.
Well, and I think she's probably very happy with it because she's dealt with so many injuries over the last few years. Such a talented athlete. Yeah, she's just been dealing with injury after injury.
It's great to see her back. She's a talented athlete. She's a nice girl as well. So, yeah, it was a good, honest race too. There was no one doing anything that no one was unhappy with anyone else in the race. And it was just a real fair hit out. So no controversy. It was just, a really good race. So it was, credit to the race organizers and the team for putting on something so stunning as well.
So when you win Asia Pacific Ironman championships in Cairns, right, in your home country, that's a pretty cool thing too.
Yeah, that was probably of all the races this year, that was probably the most enjoyable experience because you're obviously racing with. I'm from Brisbane, and a lot of the races, or a lot of the age group races that go up, are from Queensland.
Yeah.
So it was just such a great experience having so many locals and people that I knew on the course at the same time to sort of share the experience with. And so, the crowd support for me was amazing. And I'd also done that course a couple of times. So I'd actually run the 70.3 there in 2012, like a long time ago. And, yeah, it was nice to have, and that was my first 70.3
right.
as well. So nice to sort of make the double. And, yeah, it felt like it was at home. So it was, yeah, it was great.
Well, yeah, you won there in June of 2012. That's pretty cool. So, and then Frankfurt is a legendary race, right? That's a great race. And you're racing Lucy there. Wasn't Lucy Charles? Wasn't she leading? And I think you would catch her about 5K and then a run?
Yeah, Frankfurt was an interesting one because I didn't actually know I was doing it until about a week before Cairns.
Really?
My husband actually knew, Cam had told him, but I didn't know, so...
that is such a Soto thing. You know, Soto would tell Chrissy, hey, you're going to Ironman Korea. I'm doing what? I thought I was getting ready for the Olympics. No, you're going to Korea. Oh, you won that? You're going to go to Kona. It's like, oh, okay, if you say so.
Yeah, well, it was basically like that. So a week before the race, I was getting... You know, I was at the last minute on the start list, and then I had to organise the travel and then forget about it, basically. And then, so once I ended up flying into St. Moritz and training a little bit with Brett in the meantime, because we had 3 or 4 weeks in between. And then we drove from St. Moritz about, I think, 2 days before the race. I think we drove the 9 hours on the Thursday and just dropped into the event. So I guess from my perspective, I know it's a huge event, but I missed a lot of the build-up and the, the fanfare that goes with it until the day. And then I realized once the race was on how huge it was when the streets were fully lined with people watching, fully respected the event for what it was.
That is such a Brett thing. Now, had you trained with Brett before?
I had in Jeju just before Hawaii, so that was the first time I'd trained with Brett. But
right.
Yeah, I did again in St. Moritz just before Frankfurt.
Right.
Lucy got away early. As she does, she's
right.
the most talented
swimmer.
It's amazing what she can do and the damage she can do in the swim. But I sort of tried to feel the same kind of feelings as I was feeling on the bike going through Cairns and trying to build into it and, finish strong. A lot of the time, if you can sort of conserve a little bit for the back end of that bike, it kind of can put a fair bit of damage into the other girls, and it kind of got me back in the race. And then I think I actually almost had a better run than Cairns. I mean, at both those races, I probably didn't have to use my run as much as I could have. We didn't need to use the back end, the last 10Ks. So I was sort of lucky in Cairns not to have to really race it out with, say, Sarah Pimpiano. I could just finish the race. So I think that saved me a bit for Frankfurt. And then, I just steadily ran Lucy Charles down. But it was similar to, like, Heller on the weekend. It's not that Lucy didn't run really well. She had a remarkable run. It just ran a little bit faster, which meant that you just sort of bumbled past and took the win, which was really exciting.
So will you be doing Ironman 70.3 Worlds as well as Kona, or are you going to focus on just Kona?
I think after the weekend, we sort of decided to come straight back home. So I'm actually in Australia now, and we'll spend sort of the next 4 or 5 weeks back here in Brisbane training just out of Burnie Hills where we train. It's quite nice, low-key environment, so... We just get the work done, and I can have access to my masseuse and things, and just normal food that I'd be used to. And my husband's here to support me. So I think because I've been away so long, it's just nice to be at home to finish this last little bit off. I'm still a little bit of a junior burger when it comes to all the travel, so it's nice to have a little bit of time back home.
So, do you still do some work for Deloitte, or are you full time doing this?
No, I'm full time now. I do still stay in touch with the firm, so I'm actually presenting next week at their partners conference for Australia. I do some stuff with the graduate induction as well, but I'm not doing corporate finance deals on the side.
But you're doing some motivational speaking.
Yeah, just get in there and sort of, give some insights into some of the stuff I've learnt from racing and the things that can transfer over into the workplace, which you know, I think it's kind of helpful, especially for the younger guys, you know, just to give them some sort of insight.
Sure.
I think Deloitte's a fantastic firm. It allows people to kind of have a really good work-life balance, and they do support anything outside of work that you do. So I think it's good that, you know, some of the, you know, graduates can see what I've been able to do and how well I've been supported. It motivates them in their careers, I think.
So what have you learned from triathlon that would help you at Deloitte or in a real job?
Well, I think probably in the last six to 12 months, I've learned how important it is to have a really good support team behind you and mentors and things. So I think you need to sort of, although it may be a hard thing to do, you got to limit the people that are negative in your life. And even if they're your friends, you can still see them a lot, but maybe not as much as you would have before. I think you need to surround yourself with people that are fully bought in on sold on your goals and things.
Yep.
And that's a process that I've sort of spent quite a bit of time. I mean, I don't like run a spreadsheet on who's good and who's not, like Santa Claus or something, but
you're out. Used to be on my list, but don't step forward too quickly. You're off the list. I like it.
Yeah. I just have the people that I know that I can speak to about things and the ones that I'll definitely listen to. There's also just the noise. There's a lot of noise, so you have to learn to deal with just all the things that come with success. Like there's quite a bit of stuff that you do have to do or you don't have to do, and you have to choose which things are more important and which aren't. So, I mean, you know, obviously doing interviews and things is, like, really important to do because it promotes yourself and your sponsors, but sometimes they're not always positive, so you have to pick the ones that were actually going to benefit you. And
exactly.
Rather than it costs you a lot of time and effort and energy, and you know, you constantly need to sort of be considering that. And I think also just one thing that I personally have found over the last year, and this is probably the most important one, is to stick true to things that you know are going to benefit you when it comes to things like equipment and sponsorship.
Right. Don't compromise, ever.
Don't compromise anything because no one else is. And if you are, it's foolish. I think everything I try and use, no matter what, is the stuff that is best for me. And, I mean, it's not always looked at positively. I've had a lot of hard conversations about using equipment and things that aren't actually necessarily what I know to be faster. And I refuse to use something because, to be honest, Bob, I can go back to work.
Exactly.
Like, I'll have a sure job earning certain amounts of money. And
right.
For me, it's not about that. I want to win. So, I think you got to stay true to yourself and the
always.
Goals and things that you're trying to achieve. So I think those kind of lessons are really important for people in business as well. I mean, they cropped over, right? So, yeah, they're the kind of things that I like to talk about, and hopefully I can help.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mark Allen, the 6-time Ironman world champion, he would go out and test wheels, and then when he found what he thought was the fastest wheel, then he would call up the company and go, I would like to be sponsored by you. He wasn't going to get sponsored by a product if it wasn't the very best. That's just the way it was, you know, because he wasn't going to compromise. There's no way you're going to get, at the end of the day, to get X amount of money for a bike that's not faster makes no sense.
Well, then you don't win. So
then nobody cares.
So.
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody cares. That's really
no one
what it
knew
comes
who to. You were because you never won because you didn't have the right gear. So it's sort of.
Exactly.
It's a catch-22. You either pay for it maybe or, unfortunately, the way it works is that often you don't get as much money or sponsorship as you could have, but then you may also win. So.
Exactly. And then you'll get more sponsorship. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. And everyone's nice to you.
So what are the goals this year for Kona?
Look, I really want to improve on last year. Look, I go into most races with just the strategy of fulfilling what we've been doing in training.
Mm-hmm.
And just if I can do whatever my coach says to do and execute the plan as I think that's kind of my goal. like every time I race, there's always something that I miss and I don't get right. And I think, you know, the closer I can get to that, the closer I'll get to having my best race. And, you know, outcomes are outcomes. You can't really ever, you obviously, I mean, it'd be fantastic. You obviously want to win the race.
Sure.
But in what will satisfy me is if I can actually just complete what Cam puts out as our goals for the race. So, yeah, I think, I'd like a great preparation compared to last year. If I can have a healthy preparation and go into the race in the form that I have been in, it'll be a really fun day. And I just hope to have a solid preparation without any illness this year. It would be good.
From previewing the course last year, from doing the race last year, do you feel this is a good course for you?
I enjoyed it. I like heat. I've always raced well in places like Noosa and just the hot races. So yeah. I love
Frankfurt was hot this year too, right?
Yeah. I mean, see, you say that, but see, those races I go in, I don't feel like it's that hot. Like
that's
really
good.
I like really hot weather. I like training in it as well. So, I think, you know, the conditions are good for me. I like the bike course. I think it suits me as well. I think it just really will come down to me, I guess, making the improvements in the swim, getting in the main bunch for the swim, and then seeing what happens with the run at the end.
I love it. Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for taking time. It's so nice to get to meet you. Now, so will you do my taxes for me? Is that part of the deal? You get to do my finances for me?
No, I don't like that.
Stay.
I do corporate finance, so I can do transactions, and that's about it. I can buy you a business or something, maybe.
Oh, okay. There you go. There you go. I love that.
I'll do your due diligence on
that's so cool. Sarah Crowley has been our guest. Sarah, thank you so much. We will see you for breakfast in just a few weeks.
Yeah, it's exciting. Thanks. Bob. It's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Sarah Crowley has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, RunCatalina.com, our ATVSwimSpas.com, the Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.